Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast.
All right, so don't waste it, Rossi. I'm going to get started, if that's all right. So,
let's do it.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to episode 140 of the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast. We've got a very special, well, two guests tonight from Storm the Crown, death metal band from Adelaide. So whoever says nothing much happens in Adelaide, I think our two guests today will actually share that maybe that's not entirely true. And of course, we've got Braggy, our co-host from Adelaide again. And for once, we're outnumbered, Rossi.
Yeah, and finally, Rossi, your Northern State bosses are outnumbered.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a Northern State bastard now, am I? Hang on. Yeah. Normally you're a Queenslander, aren't you?
Not tonight, I'm not.
He's the dark side tonight. There's three of us.
Yeah.
He always goes where the numbers are. He jumps on the bandwagon. We know that. Oh, no. Hey, Braggy, yes. The Red Legs. Let's start with the Red Legs. They started with a win and you couldn't be happier.
Went to the home game, first home game last week. Mate, I reckon it was pretty packed. I reckon it might have been somewhere between 5,000 and 8,000, so about the same as an NRL crowd.
Jeez, I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, is that right, Rossi?
That joke's growing old, isn't it? Yeah.
Look, Adelaide at the moment is, as one of our guests just mentioned before we're off air, Adelaide's just crazy AFL at the moment because we've got Gather Round, which is like magic round for you NRL guys. All the teams playing in Adelaide and they're playing up in the hills and they're playing at my local ground, Norwood, and there's like four or five games at Adelaide Oval. So everywhere you go, maybe not quite today, but tomorrow you'll see everywhere you go, everyone's got a scarf. And
yeah,
down at my local coffee shop, there'll be, because there's lots of B&Bs around this area, it'll be packed. There'll be people with no teeth there from Collingwood and, you know, that same sort of, you know.
I hate to say it, but Port Adelaide ones as well would probably...
Yeah, Port Adelaide ones get a bit confused sometimes.
For those in the northern states, just insert South Sydney Rabbitohs supporters. Yeah.
So Shane Waffles and Killer from Storm the Crowd. Guys, I've got to ask the question, do you have a SA Football League team that you follow or used to follow or don't pay any interest to it at all?
Not really for myself. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I had an uncle that played for SANFL for Port Adelaide, so I kind of knew a little bit, but it's just never really been my thing.
Okay. Waffles?
Mine was Glenelg because that's where my school was zoned to play for. I remember vaguely playing at Norwood Oval when I was probably nine. Little games in the middle.
Yeah. It hasn't changed.
I think it still looks the same, doesn't it? That's about it. I mean, I was a Bays fan and I got taken to games, but ever since probably about the age of 13, it sort of hasn't happened anymore. Other things have taken my interest. So
there's some wisdom there, Braggy. Some wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
When they were old enough to make a choice.
Yeah.
They
Well, see, I was never any good at footy. So I'm just reliving my youth trying, you know.
I went to the other code of football, the round one, instead after that age, so I can't talk about that.
Ooh.
Oh, soccer.
I played that for years.
That's cool. We like any sport here on this on this music.
Isn't it football? Aren't we supposed to call it football?
We are. That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Look, I was in Spain and Spain had just won the World Cup and they had a shop I saw and had a sign up saying soccer shirt. So I went, ha ha, gotcha.
Ah.
I've used it ever since.
That was for the travelling Aussies.
Probably was, you know.
All right. All so, right. Braggy, you kickstart the convo.
I usually start with the same question. I'm always interested in how guys, you guys, or whoever our guests are, first get their first taste of music. Like when you're young, were you fed? Was your mum and dad or older brothers into music? When was the first time you thought, "Oh fuck, I really like this thing called music"?
I know exactly when it was. Mum and dad's record collection. It was Paul Simon's Graceland album, and I played that thing over and over.
Wow!
Truly,
well, yeah, amazing. I still love that album to this day.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Oh, fantastic!
And what about you?
Mine definitely wasn't that. mine was my big sister, who's 5 years older than me. She actually used to have music taste, and she introduced me to Anthrax and Dead Kennedys. Attack of the Killer Bees was one of the first thrash metal albums I ever heard.
Yeah,
and it's just always stuck with me. So, and that like progressive Dead Kennedys, and my cousins got involved with Black Flag, Dead Kennedys, Suicidal Tendencies, and just went from there. So it's always been the heavier side of stuff, whether it be punk, metal, or something like that. But yeah, that's where mine started, and that was when I was dipped. Oh, 100%. I was just like spoon fed it and ran down my throat. And I went, yeah, I love this, and it's just been that ever since.
From Paul Simon into death metal is one that I've just got to hear.
I mean, I could keep going and have. I've got moments like the first time I heard a heavy metal album that blew me away. First time I heard like a rock guitar that blew me away. I remember all these steps along the way. First live gig I ever went to that made me need to go see bands play. Lots and lots of steps along the way. And the great thing about starting with that sort of stuff is I appreciate so much music because of it. I've found so many different things along the way.
Too, hey? Even Paul Simon will influence you even into the death metal range. In some way, maybe not
100%.
Obviously, but yeah.
And for me, that's probably lyrically as well. Listening to a lot of those bands, the way people write lyrics and interpret things and all of that comes through no matter what you're doing.
But I guess, settling on that metalcore genre stuff, whilst it's heavy and it has, the influence of all that, hardcore punk stuff like Bad Brains and Dead Kennedys, of course, and all that stuff, it certainly does have a massively melodic side. There's really strong melodic stuff. And listening to your stuff, that comes through as well. But like all the metalcore stuff, you hear both. It's a bit of a juxtaposition. It's very heavy. It has the halftime breakdowns, has all this other stuff, but it does have a great sense of melody as well. Yeah,
it all goes back to the Beatles.
Ah, yeah, here we go. That's right. That's exactly right.
Maybe. Oh, now the
Beatles already.
That's cool. I'll start talking about them before long.
me too. Don't worry about that.
Tell us about how you got your name, and is it anything to do with the Cranker?
No, it was literally, we're at band practice and just trying to think of a name. And one of the guys just went, I've had this name kicking around in my head for a while. What do you think? And I think we came back the next week and all of us were like, that's the name.
We had like 10 written down, didn't we, at one stage? And we just went, we just ended up on that one, didn't we?
Kept coming back to that.
Yeah, that's cool. Crown and Anchor. It's a
fantastic hotel.
It's a great pub. It's a very big, strong supporter, like quite a few pubs in Adelaide of live music. And I know these guys have played there. I'm pretty sure I've saw.
Played there a couple of times.
I mean, I've played there over the last 20 years in different bands. Fantastic place.
It's just a cool pub. Cool pub. And
very much in keeping with that style of music. Conjures up the sort of, the imagery around the sort of stuff you're doing, I think, from what I've heard anyway.
Yeah.
So how do you get into, obviously, Shane, you're into the heavier sort of stuff straight from the word go.
Yeah.
What about you, Killer? How do you progress to that?
Yeah. So I was always drawn to that heavier sort of stuff, whether it be, like I mentioned, the Beatles before, but hearing Help with like big it's got almost like a Fry vocal in it where he's screaming towards the end. And it was literally, I think they were at the end of their session and he just fried his voice and that's the only way he could get it out.
Yeah.
But I was always drawn to that sort of stuff. But for me, the album that switched things over was a band called Machine Head. And yeah, I heard a friend of mine gave me the album and I just listened to this album and blew me away. Super catchy, super heavy. And then that led me into Pantera and those sort of bands. Probably at about 14. Yeah, and then that led me into punk, into hardcore, which was very much going to see local bands play, got me into that. A lot of people start talking about early hardcore and early punk rock, and for me, like early 90s stuff, I couldn't tell you in overseas bands, but I could tell you almost every Adelaide band and where they played and when they played and
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. I was so into it.
See much of the Mark of Cain?
Love the Mark of Cain.
I thought you might.
Great band.
And the only reason I know who Mark of Cain was in the first place was Roland's.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. He did Illinois, and what a great Angry record that is. What a great
fantastic
record.
Album.
Amazing album. And they're just spot on with it. But you can tell it's Roland's inspired. 100%. You can feel
snare
it.
Drum, that snare drum tells you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great sounding record, actually. Like, I love it to death. I've listened to a lot of Mark of Cain over the years. And that, like, some of their earlier stuff, like Battlesick and before that, didn't quite gel the way that album did, right? When they put that out, they just nailed it.
Such an amazing live band as well.
Huh?
I definitely left an imprint after that album came out for the Mark of Cain. It sort of took them in a different direction and upwards sort of thing.
Sure did. Lots of Rickenbackers, Braggy.
Lots of Rickies.
Okay. Yeah, lots of Ricky. Yeah,
I can't afford a Ricky.
You don't see,
it's too bloody expensive.
It's not a guitar I associate with metal, the Rickenbacker.
Yeah. Well, it's more of that hardcore.
Oh, Lemmy.
Lemmy.
Well, yeah, Lemmy.
That's all I've got to say. Lemmy.
Yeah, I guess Lemmy.
I mean, there's been a few bands that I know have played Rickies over the years. Robotosaurus from Adelaide were... I'd say mathcore, cross metalcore, and that's one I associate with a Ricky. The bassist played a 4003, and that's where I first saw one of them being used pretty much in that sort of genre. So,
Lime Spiders as well.
They do exist.
But I mean, is a Ricky, and sorry, Curly, we're probably getting out of your area.
You guys go for it. I'm just enjoying a drink.
I wouldn't have thought like not, maybe the bass, but I wouldn't have thought a Rickenbacker guitar is that suited to
probably not
to tune down.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah,
a little bit unstable. It takes a special amount of teching to get one of those things to stay in tune for very long. I saw the Damned in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, and the bass player was playing a Ricky, and it just sounded massive. But what I did find about it, I thought it was really interesting. He was playing 90 to 30 strings, super light bass strings.
Fantastic band, though.
Oh, mate, they were pretty good.
Did they make it to Adelaide?
I missed them, unfortunately.
They played it here. They played at the High Street Musical.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen them with Rat playing drums for them. So,
Rat was fantastic.
Oh, I can imagine.
He's 68.
Yeah. Rat Scabies, what a name as well.
I've seen him too. I've done shows. A band I worked for, we did shows in 87 and 89 when they came out. And I've seen them maybe three or four other times. And they're just always good fun, yeah?
Yeah.
But I don't
think I can imagine.
Yeah, don't think they'll be back.
So thank God for the young ones for introducing me to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Truly, wasn't
and Motorhead.
Yeah. And Motorhead. And Motorhead.
And Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, the young ones were a massive influence.
And Madness doesn't necessarily fit the death metal.
It doesn't, but it's where I learned the young ones is where I found out about Madness. And I do like my heavy stuff, but I like some weird stuff too. Madness is one of them ones that does not fit into anything else, but I do love them.
Well, just I was listening to Alexi Sale just the other day with that classic that
he's Hello, John, got a new motor?
No, pop-up toaster. That is the classic pop-up toaster.
I remember watching Alexi Sale on ABC TV late at night when I was a kid. Like just watching, like in between, like around the goodies, sort of when they were on in the evening. And
get me started on the goodies.
Hey,
it's mine and Chris's childhood too.
Let's talk about your music on Spotify, shall we? It's an EP that came out in 2023, called Valleys. So, and I've got to back Rossi up listening to this. There is, you know, it's quite a contradiction in so many ways. You get that deep gravel sort of vocals, but then you've got this melody, and then you've got some what I would someone listening in who's not into death metal would describe as normal vocals, and then you're going back into that genre stuff. So, and some of it actually felt like is it Oceans that sort of picked I thought I was listening to a cover with Oceans. It was just that familiar, almost poppiness to the tune. So, but I checked, and they're all been written by Storm the Crown. So, yeah,
there's a genre since I was researching today of death metal called death and roll. Would you guys fit in that genre?
I have never heard of that.
Neither have I.
I like it.
It's like death metal or doom sort of stuff, but it's got more of a that 70s rock band.
Four to the floor with a low growly guitar.
Yeah, 70s rock band sort of style.
It sounds like something that Turnbuckles would do, Rossi.
Yeah, it does.
With Bon Jovi out the front.
I think it would be described as metallic metal as well, or something like that, I didn't even know that was a genre either, but would be described as that.
So how do you
it's definitely something you can move your head to and sing to, though. It's not just the normal drop tune, droney chug. It's definitely got some melody to it.
Metal subgenres deserves a PhD. Have you ever seen those series like Global Metal and all that? You've seen those two documentaries by that PhD guy who's
traveling the world. Sam Dunn, I think his name is.
Yeah.
There's a TV series as well.
Yeah, that's right. And there's the one where he went and did like the Outsider, like you had the Afghani and the Chinese metal bands and all that stuff. But then the original one where he actually takes people on the journey through where the origins of the genres are. But underneath each genre, there's subgenres. And you know, like I guess metalcore is probably the overarching point where you guys would probably sit, maybe.
For me, it's probably an early 2000s metalcore.
Yeah.
But then I'm personally influenced by some of the current deathcore bands.
Yeah.
Which are really big, scary, bombastic sort of vocals, often quite unintelligible, which I don't like.
Yeah.
So for me, I want to hear something that you can, I want a riff you can sing along to, or a solo that you could sing along to. You know, something the crowd can lyrically can sing along to as well, or scream out, or. You know, it's got to be catchy.
But as we were saying earlier, I don't think it's a surprise that you guys have come from Adelaide. I've always found, like in the years I've been doing rock and roll, Adelaide's had a very big heritage of hard rock bands, hard rock players. Like really good musicians have come out of Adelaide. A lot of them have moved from Adelaide to here and back again. Yeah, and more so people don't have to move to Sydney, whereas 30 years ago you'd have to move to Sydney. But now you're able to stay where you live. And launch yourself, things like cheaper flights, things like that make it a bit easier. But still, it's a bit expensive to travel around to the eastern states or to the west, or even get over to Perth. But, Adelaide's always had a very strong rock and roll heritage, I've always found. Like, dozens of guys.
What I've read, Rossi, it's interesting you say that. I read today that these guys have been credited with reforming the Adelaide sound.
Is that right?
I've read that a couple of times. Because you guys are all from other bands originally, weren't you?
A few of us are, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I've been doing vocals and I've played bass in a band for, 20 years.
Okay.
With reasonable local success.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's a bit of old school there.
So I mean, my first band, a band called Paradise Burning, we came up playing with like Parkway Drive, first time they played in Adelaide, we played with them. Coming up with bands like Daya Contempt and I Killed the Prom Queen and, you know, shoulder to shoulder with some of these bands that became huge.
Yeah, like Parkway Drive just came out of nowhere and just blew up, didn't they, really? Through hard work.
It's funny, we were hearing about Parkway when they were playing to nobody in Byron.
Yeah,
we'd heard these rumors of this band, and when they finally came out, it was just this explosion. Like we couldn't believe what we were seeing. It was so different to what was here in Adelaide, but at the same time, it was so just spot on.
Like they've worked very, very hard and stayed very focused on what they're doing. Yeah, you got to have a lot of respect for those guys. And for anyone 100%. Anyone who hasn't seen the documentary V for the Underdogs, it's really, really great insight into that band. A great insight into how they sort of did what they did. What I love is that they don't have management. They do everything themselves.
In-house.
All the money they'd spend on management, they sink back into the production.
Wow. You know?
And they are, from the interactions I had with them, I mean, a long time ago, but they were genuinely the nicest guys ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just super happy to be around. They actually stayed a few doors down from the house I lived in, so I'd pop down and hang out with them whenever they were in Adelaide. And for a couple of years there, when they were still just up and comers, you know, spent a little bit of time with them. And they were just, like I said, the nicest guys ever.
Yeah,
that's great.
So, guys, how long has Storm the Crown been together as a band?
Yeah, about a year and a half, I think now.
Wow. Oh, really? So, how do you feel about those accolades that Braggy was just talking about? You know, you've been together a year and a half, and what are they credited with? The rebirth
of the Adelaide sound,
So that must be pretty humbling.
It really is, especially coming from, you know, playing metalcore 20, like in the early 2000s when we were, that stuff was first coming up, to now being, you know, a lot closer to 50 than I was back then. and being able to do it again, that in itself is quite humbling, but the fact that people are enjoying it is just amazing.
We both grew up, like, well, in the mid-2000s, we were both going to the same sort of gigs, like the Prom Queen gigs, the Dave Content gigs, Killcoil Project. These are all bands that were the normal ones for us to go see. And for us to be, that to be said about us from the genre we actually all grew up listening to is great for us. I mean, we lived and breathed that. We went to them gigs every weekend. So, I mean, Chris lived it because he was on the stage. That's where I first met Chris years ago when he was playing Paradise Burning. So that's just an amazing compliment for us. We love it.
Yeah. Hey, the clip for Neon is pretty fucking good.
Oh, cheers. It was good fun doing it.
It looks really pro. Tell us about, so who, you had someone direct that
Tell us about that. Yeah, so we got, I mean, it was super lucky. A guy called Brad Gilbertson. I got that right, didn't I, Waffle? Excellent. Brad is a awesome guy. There was a band around a little while ago called In Fiction.
Right.
He was the vocalist for them. They were more like a pop rock sort of band. Yeah, he's got a video. He's a video maker, documentary maker. He's actually got a documentary on, I think it's on SBS at the moment, called Still Standing, about arcade machines in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And a bit of a history of that sort of stuff, which is fantastic. Check it out. but yeah, we managed to score him, and he was super excited to do the clip for us.
And where did you film that at?
It's actually where we at our rehearsal space.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was nice and convenient in that respect. You know, we rocked up to practice, did the video.
Put the lights up.
I had the barbecue going while we were doing it, and yeah, it was a good day.
It was a more interesting band practice than normal. It was a longer band practice than normal, but no, it was good fun.
Tell you what, Killer, you've got the look for a death metal band. Can I tell you what you do on your TikTok and your socials actually frightens me when it comes up on my feed. But...
the funny thing is, I'm the biggest teddy bear ever.
Well, I'm seeing that here.
Yeah,
he is. If my daughter was to come in right now, it's Uncle Chris. It's not the big scary man who screams a lot. It, yeah, 100%. The guy's just a big softy.
Well, the image in the clips is working, boys. It's, yeah.
But I was also going to say that Sound of the Records is like, it's a very sharp, massive sound. Sonically, it sounds fantastic. So who did that with you guys and how'd you do that?
Yeah, so we recorded with Andy Dent at, what's his studio called?
Andy Kite.
You
don't get that wrong. We're going to go see him next month. Don't do it again.
But Andy was amazing. He is Against the Grain Studios. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. He's also the vocalist for Descend to Acheron, which is quite heavy, like really good Adelaide band. He knows his shit.
And then mastering was done in Sweden. No, I'll let you take this one.
So it's a guy named Thomas Plek. They called him Plek Johansson from the Panic Room in Sweden. He's done Soil Work, Watain, Turbo Negro, and the list of other bands he's done is ridiculous. Like, he's done some real heavy hitters. And, Andy reached out to him for us, and he said, yep, I'll master your album for you. And we got it back, and that's what ended up coming out of it. So we were pretty stoked about that.
Andy's amazing. He made the process super, super easy for us. We were in the it was 4 days recording. Really good process. Really enjoyed it, actually. So I think we're back in there in about 6 or 7 weeks. Five more days.
You should be very, very pleased with that because it sounds massive. Really does.
Yeah, look, it helps. We've all got little studios at home. So we're constantly recording and sending stuff to each other, and that's the way I write as well. I don't tend to write on paper. I write straight to in the recording.
Straight on the computer.
And that just, it works for me.
Speak for yourself, Chris.
No, like we'll, even if we change, we might get an old song that we'll rehash, we'll change it a little bit. 24 hours later, the guitarist has got it recorded and sent to the drummer. The drummer will quickly record something and flick it over to everyone else. And, you know, then we've got something to practice with.
I'll play it next practice.
Yeah.
That would have worked. That would have worked well in COVID.
Fantastic. I actually loved that period. I had, I mean, if we were together, it would have been fantastic. I actually started a solo project during COVID and I put out about 22 songs over 12 months, I think. I taught myself how to engineer and produce. And
that's cool that you guys are all technically can do that. I know.
Oh, look, I'm so handy. As you saw when I was trying to log on to this for this today, I'm not really technically minded, but I'll muddle my way through it.
Yeah, but you can record your stuff and send it to other people. Like in my band, I'm lucky if some of the guys can turn the computer on.
All right, guys. Now, before we go to Braggy's trivia, I've got to ask the question, Shane, how did you get that nickname, Waffles?
Because I think I could probably take that one for him.
I'll start the explanation and then you can finish it, eh?
It's pretty. It's a really easy one.
It is pretty straightforward. I mean, literally. So one morning I decided to have waffles for breakfast. I think it was before band practice. And literally rocked up to band practice and we were having a chat and the conversation came up about what we have for breakfast. And I said, I made waffles. And I pretty much got called Fancy, and then I got called Waffles, and literally it has just kept going. Our group chat for our band chat, literally anytime anyone sees anything waffle-related, I will get a picture of that thing. So, like, they'll go to Coles, they'll see waffles on the packet. They'll go to a restaurant, they'll see waffles on the menu, and it's a picture straight away. So, but me being the stupid idiot I am, decided to take it one step further, and I got our lovely drummer to tattoo a waffle character on my arm because I'm an idiot. Awesome. So I just commuted. I just went, whatever. It's not going anywhere. So it's nothing overly weird or anything. It just literally had waffles for breakfast.
It's not a bad.
It was more the reaction that he had.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah, I had waffles this morning, and I looked at him and went, well, that's a bit fancy, mate. No, it's not. And our drummer looked at him and went, well, that's your name now, Waffles. No, it's not. Don't call me Waffles. It's definitely your name now.
I've just embraced it now.
You shouldn't have done that. Never say never.
Hey, there's worse nicknames out there than Waffles, I think. I mean, I got to admit, I do love a chat. So, I mean, it sort of works twofold.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I'm pretty sure your wife calls you Waffles.
She does. She definitely does. That's the nicest thing she calls me.
Oh, it's cool.
There might be something interesting for you in the chat there, Curly.
Oh, okay. Have you sent something through, have you?
Yes, it's the famous Waffles video I was talking about earlier.
Oh, well, you're going to have to send that to Shane.
Oh, no.
Just keeps growing, Shane.
I'll just live with it now. Literally, I've actually had people just call me Waffles. They don't even call me Shane anymore.
I'm we'll all good with it.
Yeah.
All right. So
I know people who've known me for 30 years who don't know what my name is.
I'm the same. I've been called Killer for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Oh, look, don't get me started. My first name's Tave, T-A-V-E, and there's still hundreds of people think I'm Dave. And I just go with it.
So I've been copying Sean for about 30 years, so I understand it.
Sean, yeah.
Okay, Curly, we ready? We're doing the...
Here we go.
Rossi sends me stuff always for a reason, so okay. I hope I've set this up all right so you can hear the audio.
I just can't stop thinking about waffles.
A Vacaville dad recorded this hilarious video of his daughter after she insisted she wanted waffles for lunch and for a third meal in a row. Mom and dad felt she needed to take a break from the waffles and suggested she eat something else. But there's only one thing on her mind.
Why can't I just stop dreaming about waffles?
I don't know.
Oh, she was feeling that.
Look, if my wife had the same reaction, I'd be happy, but she does not. Sadly, but
there's a longer form video. Find it, guys. There's a longer form video.
I'll show the wife, and she'll probably tell me to go F myself. But yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I feel that video definitely needs to go on your Facebook page.
Oh, it's going on there.
Give it 10 all minutes right. After this, he's probably going to splice our song into it.
And your face.
This is Braggy's quiz.
Yep.
And all right. Boys, it's notoriously hard because Rossi fucking knows everything. Gives me the shit sometimes.
Bullshit.
So if you want to play along, if you want a pencil or something to write down, you can. If you don't want to, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to ask the questions anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
I think they're into it because Waffles has got a lot of useless information, he was saying, stored in his head. So I think Killer's probably a school teacher by heart. So I think he's got some information there as well.
Righto. Who is Edward Louis Severson III? That's question one. Who is Edward Louis Severson III?
Yeah, and just so the boys, I have no clue in it, most of these. So
you will know who it is, though.
Well, I have a feeling.
Yep. Okay, which of these bands is not considered death metal? Like, I hope I've got my research right here. I'm going to give you five bands. One of them is not considered death metal.
Yeah.
Hour of Penance, Obscura, I'm hoping these guys have heard of this, Mortification, At the Gates, and Deicide. One of those is not considered death metal, according to a death metal quiz I saw on the internet.
Well, that's a 20% chance.
Put these bands in order of when they were founded, okay? When they became a band together. So in chronological order. Cannibal Corpse, Obituary, At the Gates, Decapitated, and I wonder if the boys will know this band. Love the name, say. Pyrefly. You guys heard of Pyrefly? We've had them on the show.
That's actually a tough question.
That is tough.
I know all the bands, but who knows when they all started?
Well, have a guess. Cannibal Corpse, Obituary, At the Gates, Decapitated, and Pyrefly. See if you can get them in order. Okay, boys, this is my favorite section. Oh, Ross, Curly, I forgot to do a description of this again. This is cryptic band names. So it's like a cryptic clue for the band name. So if I was going to do Midnight...
Do yes. Dire Straits.
Dire Straits. What's the Dire Straits cryptic one, Curly?
It might be Meek. Oh, sorry. Urgent Curves or something.
No, like, anyway, you boys will get it. You boys will understand.
No, I like this. This is like Jeopardy.
It's like Jeopardy, yeah. Cryptic band names, are ready? And now some of these bands are metal and some of them aren't, okay? So it gives the other boys a bit of a chance, hopefully. First one is called Gloomy Gabriel. Gloomy Gabriel. Next one is this next one is Dirty Bassinet. I love this next one. Treacherous Vicar. They could be band names in themselves. Okay.
Great song, Todd.
Two really tricky ones now. Matching group of stones.
And it's killing me. It's killing me.
And the last one is Press Over for Zero. Frosty, if you get this one, I'll fucking
press over for zero.
Yeah. All right. And there's five more questions. These are called dead questions. You ready?
Okay.
Who was the death cab for?
Yep.
Yep. Who sang death? Who sang Death on Two Legs? Who asked to be sent dead flowers? Who was wanted dead or alive?
If I didn't know that, my wife would kill me.
And who said, and who sang, "You spin me right round, baby, right round, like a record, baby, right round, round, round"?
Pete Burns. Pete Burns sang it, actually, Braggy.
No.
Adam Sandler.
Pete Burns. Pete Burns. Yeah.
The wedding planner.
Okay. Technically, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong.
Here's the answers coming at you.
Yeah.
Edward Louis Sevenson III is Eddie Vedder.
Eddie Van Halen.
Yep.
No, Eddie Vedder.
Oh, Eddie Vedder. So
bad, is it?
I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah. That's his real name.
I should know that. I grew up with grunge.
Mm. Okay. According to my research, Mortification is a Christian metal band. So
they certainly are. I've played with them.
Well, oh, awesome.
He has a top as well. I think it might be falling apart, but he has one.
Yeah, Steve, the singer gave it to me. Great, great band.
Awesome. Okay. Obituary was formed in 1984. Then it was Cannibal Corpse in 88.
Yep.
At the Gates, 1990. Decapitated, 1996. And our friends from Sydney, Pyfly, 2016. Ding dong. Okay. Gloomy Gabriel. Did anyone get that?
No.
Gloomy Gabriel. Is it Morbid Angel?
Correct, killer.
It's the only one I got, but I got it.
It's good.
Very good.
Morbid Angel. Dirty Bassinet would be anyone?
Cradle of Filth.
Correct.
No, of course it is.
Cradle of Filth. Well done. Treacherous Vicar.
Judas Priest.
Correct.
Oh,
good. Yes. Boys are good. Whilst he's in trouble.
I am. I'm gone.
Matching Group of Stones. That's a rock set.
Oh.
Oh, good mistake, didn't it?
And press over for zero. Now, Rossi and Curly, you guys are sports fans. What's an over for zero?
That's a negative, isn't it? Maiden.
It's a maiden. Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Really? I was well fucking off then.
That was a tough one.
That was very good.
I had the word negative for zero, so I was just going, I'm stupid. I'll just shut up then.
That's really cryptic. Well, I was nearly going to, yeah, okay.
Far out.
It was my cricket thing that came out of me, that one. Okay, it was a death cab for Cutie.
Yes, it was.
Death on Two Queen. Legs was by Queen. Send Me Dead Flowers was the Rolling Stones. Bon Jovi sang Wanted, Dead or Alive. And
that's the one my wife would kill me for.
And Dead or Alive saying, "You spin me right round, baby, right round."
But the singer of Dead or Alive was Pete Burns.
Yes.
That's great. Lovely bloke.
See, I might know most of these songs, but I wouldn't have a clue who sung them.
Look, I try and make
it. Bon Jovi, I suppose.
How'd you go, Kelly?
Got four.
That's all right.
I guessed one. Actually, I guessed two. You said them the second time.
That's all right.
I got seven.
Killer, I reckon you won.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Just claim it anyway, Killer. You'll be right.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I won.
All right. Now, I think you guys have got a gig coming up soon at Rhino Bar.
West Dyke Hotel.
Is that right?
We've actually got two coming up. So we got one April 27th at West
Is it the Royal Oak or West Oak? So West Oak. Old people from Adelaide wouldn't know it as the World's End. Because it's the frequent event. That was the stop before at Ingwerbar, as we all know, back in the day. And now, there's a Royal Oak or West Oak. I can't remember. That's seventh with Reaver and Acrolysis from New South Wales and Greedy Bunch of Parasites and Broken Loose, who's a thrash band, a bunch of young blokes, really bloody good.
Fantastic bunch of young kids.
Absolutely smashing it in the thrash scene at the moment.
That's what you want.
And then the 25th of May, just after we start do our recording, actually, like literally a couple of days after, we're doing Dead by Daylight 3, which is the last installment. So the last two have been at Enigma Bar.
Yep.
Seeing as that's no more, we're doing it at Rhino Room and Low Life Bar. So it's Rhino Room's upstairs, Low Life Bar's downstairs, eight bands, cheap tickets. It'll be a good day. Like, I mean, there's bands from New South Wales, Victoria, New South Wales coming over, I think, like Deadweight 80. So it's not just a normal one genre thing. It's hardcore guys, metalcore guys, like bands like Witchspit and Sabbath of the Nighty Wifeys and stuff like that. So there's some Adelaide staples, but there's also some stuff coming from interstate as well. And that's done by Owen Jaw, who's putting on some really, really good shows lately.
So that's a few. There's a few venues in Adelaide that, you know, for you guys to play. So that's good. Seeing we're only kind of really still a little town, I guess.
There's always been quite a few venues for us. I mean, even back in the day when there wasn't venues, I remember things like alleyway shows, doing even car parks, like your Wilson car parking and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, there has been definitely a lot less venues over the years. I mean, like Underground doesn't exist anymore. They had Black Market, which was in the old Night Train building, if I can remember correctly. That moved around to four different venues. I mean, I grew up, well, the Crown and Anchor's always been a staple. Enigma's always been a staple until they closed up this year, which sucks. I mean, it happens. But there is still like Broadcast Bar. What else is there, Chris? Jeez. I didn't even know Royal Oak was putting on shows there, but they are. I haven't played a show there since I was probably in my mid-20s, I think. I sang there once, and that was the end of my singing career. So I gave that up. But yeah, there's still like the Gov and all that sort of stuff. It's still there. There's still a lot of venues we can go play. It just sucks that the main ones we grew up with are not there anymore. Like Enigma was probably the biggest hit for us. Being in the genre, it was the place we all went on the weekends when we were in our 20s. The places we knew, like we saw big bands. I mean, Ignite, As I Lay Dying, crap. Who have you seen there, Chris? Probably stupid amounts of bands. It's ridiculous. But now it's, it's a shit venue. The floor was sticky, but it was just perfect. One of those staples. Oh yeah, it was 100% perfect for anything we needed. Like just that hangout place.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned going into the studio now a couple of times. So what does that look like? What can we expect? What's coming out?
Yeah, so we're hoping to get hopefully six songs recorded. And rather than drop them all at the same time as an EP, we'll probably release them maybe over four or five drops over maybe a three-month period. So mostly singles, trying to get a few videos to go with them as well. Keep people engaged, keep people wanting more.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised by the 3-4 minute lengths of your songs as well. It's pop sensibility.
Yes.
Definitely.
Good point, Rossi.
Definitely.
Now that's an important thing, right? So engagement's hard. Yeah, like eyeballs are hard, ears are hard to keep maintaining people, you know? You've got to just, like, people switch off after 15 seconds if you haven't got them. Really hard.
Exactly. Especially these days in the internet age, the TikTok age especially, you know? Yeah. I think that 10 seconds has gone down to 3 or 4 seconds now with younger kids.
Yeah.
You've got to catch people straight away.
Yeah. The attention span definitely is not there anymore.
That's right. Yeah. And I think, like things like for bands, because there's so many people trying to grab your attention, Yeah, you got to be doing something to get people to pay attention. It's really, really hard. Like, yeah. And the idea
is a lot of bands get very repetitive with that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, putting the same stuff out in your face constantly, which, you know, even they could be the best band, but you just it wears on you and you get a bit sick of it. So it's trying to keep fresh and stay current, and
also make,
you know, my brain is just going and going and going constantly.
You have to make people miss you occasionally too, right?
Yeah. But it's interesting, yeah, though. I mean, you talk about you've got to grab their attention, but then once you've got their attention, I know from my daughter, she's into hip hop, but, you know, it'll be one thing after another. But then when she finds someone she likes, someone grabs her attention, then she wants to see some substance from them, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of, it's tricky in that way, Rossi. What do you think, boys? Yeah. You got to grab them, but then you got to keep them, and you got to have something that's interesting.
Well, Storm the Crown came to our attention through TikTok. Those 15-second,
oh really?
6-second, and all of a sudden I'm seeing Storm the Crown coming through the unfiltered feed on TikTok, and I'm going, let's go in and see what they've got up to. And, you know, there's a wide variety of stuff on their TikTok, and we'll have your link in the show notes, so don't worry about that. But it's a really good eye-opener to understand who the band is, their personality of the band. Mm. So I was actually enjoying that journey on social media before I even listened to any of the music through Spotify or anything. So
that's fantastic. It's really nice to hear, you know, people hearing us through an avenue like that, something completely different. I'm just a goofball at the end of the day, especially on TikTok. So
yeah,
he's the charisma, as they call him.
Yeah,
but it does give you the potential for a global reach, right? Yeah, gives you the potential for a bigger reach. Like
100%.
The style of music you're playing is global. It is a global style of music, right? Yeah. And there's people all over the world who really dig what you do. And if you can engage and catch those guys, who knows what can happen?
Well, your second biggest fan base on Spotify is Helsinki, of all places.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got some weird reach. So if you look on Spotify, that you look through the countries, and it's like very strange that people in Greece, in Finland, Sweden, US. I mean, we reach places that we didn't think we would. Like Indonesia is another one. And then when you look at our YouTube stuff, Indonesia lovers, Greece. It's the same demographic, I suppose, over there as well, with the reach for the film clip. But we do try to put our shorts on there that we do have on other social media platforms. So we're getting people like things. We've got Adam, who one day had to angle grind his who's our drummer, by the way. He had to angle grind one of his cymbals to make it smaller because it cracked.
And to me, that's content. I grabbed the camera out straight away.
Yeah. 12,500 people watch that and on YouTube, and it's like it's random, it's weird, but people love it, and that's all over the globe. It's not just Australia that people are liking that sort of stuff. So it's refreshing to see that we can reach that area as well. Like being a small band from Adelaide, you don't expect that sort of stuff to happen.
So there's a lot of evils to the music industry we're in at the moment, with Spotify and everything being so hard. But then there's so much stuff that you could never think was possible, you know, back when all of us were, you know, wanting to be rock stars back in the young day. You would never thought you could do that.
Even going back to like the early 2000s, playing in bands, you'd go interstate for the first time. I remember going interstate for the first time to Melbourne, and people were singing along to songs I'd written, and that blew me away because I was like, how have these people got this music?
Yeah,
that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's a lot more accepted these days because it's just out there for the world to listen to. But back then it was like, wow, I'm only in Melbourne, but people know the words and they're singing along. And how has this happened?
But the community that's around metal bands, as we know, the fans of metal really are there for the music, because they can't find it anywhere else unless they actively go and look for it, right? So the guys and the girls who listen to that stuff listen to it because they love it. And when they find something they love, they embrace it, you know? And that's what's really cool about the metal scenes. And, you know, punk and hardcore as well, right? You know, like, because you don't turn on Triple J, or you don't turn on the ABC and hear that stuff. People have to actively go out and seek it.
It's that old school DIY ethos that goes with that stuff.
Especially in small country towns, especially fans in small country towns that, you know, might have that big of a metal scene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was me growing up. Small country town. I still live in the same small country town. We both do.
Yeah.
Adelaide.
Oh, we're about an hour and a half out of the city. But
wow. Yeah. Whereabouts?
A place called Victor Harbour, a little country quiet town.
Love it.
I've done a gig there. I've done a gig in Victor Harbour. Yeah.
We'd like to do a gig here, but
where's the crown? I would have shown.
Yeah, it's
a bit of a blur. I was touring with an Adelaide act, actually, that came across the eastern states, a guy called John Swan. We played Victor Harbour, we played Murray Bridge, we played the Bridgeway.
Was that
so? Any music connoisseur from Adelaide would know that name. Should know that name.
They should know. He's a very good singer.
Yeah.
He's been around for a very long time, too.
Mm. All right, couple of questions from me, and then we'll start the wind-up. First up, can we expect a Paul Simon's cover from Storm the Crown?
Hey, I've actually been doing some vocal covers on our YouTube channel.
Okay.
I have a Paul Simon song on the list.
I didn't even know about that one, really.
It's a long list at the moment, but I've got two vocal covers I've got up there at the moment. I've got two more I'm in the middle of working on in my home studio.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
We lost Rossi. Okay.
That's that small town internet that they have in Sydney.
From Sydney, yeah. And my second question is it a ploy to just have a one-word title for each song?
That's me. I don't know what it is. I just like it.
Yeah.
I tried other songs with multiple words, but I just, it always comes back down to one word.
Okay.
And they all kind of fit together somehow as well.
Just coincidental.
Neon Ocean's Purest Valley.
Yeah.
Well, Purest start off Purest Kiss, and then it just got shortened along the way, and then they just stuck.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And so you guys got plans to go or any gigs interstate?
Not at this stage.
Coming up? Okay.
Wanted. We would love to go and do something interstate. I mean, it's just we've just got a plan for that. You got to see what's about as well. So we don't want to go over and just run around like idiots. We're all old. Like, I mean, us two are nearly 45, so we're not spring chickens anymore. We can't go sleep in a van. It'll hurt a lot. So we've got to plan these things. And like most of the band's got families and stuff as well, so it's not just let's just pack up and piss off in a van sort of thing. Love to do it. I'd love to experience. I mean, Chris has experienced it. Yeah. I definitely have not. But it's definitely on the cards. We want to get over to Melbourne. We want to get over to Sydney. We want to get over to Brisbane, Perth as well. I mean, it's a longer drive, definitely. But yeah, definitely want to do it.
Germany.
Germany's a. Germany, France, so the old Wacken and Hellfest. I'd love to do that.
You guys are kill it there.
Yeah, I get a sense Europe's the market, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Europe is huge for metal.
Yeah.
What happened, Rossi? Was it small town internet?
I blame Telstra, and I'm going to be calling. I've got someone I know from Telstra from last week. I'm calling him.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right.
That was good.
So what's the is there a timeline for the new stuff coming out, or what's the thought there?
We're in the studio as of May 16th. So we'll get our songs done. Hopefully, as last time, we went in there pretty prepared. We banged it out really quick, actually. We're really happy with everyone. Like we don't go in half-assed. We're going to make sure we've got everything down as we walk in that door. As soon as that's done, we get it mastered, and then it's in fate's hand how long it comes back. And then we go from there. We'll do some film clips, and then we'll essentially drip feed them out, I suppose.
Yeah, so there's a few little logistical bits in there with, you know, getting film clips and stuff sorted out once we've got everything back. But as soon as we can get stuff out, we want to try and get it out. So,
doing digital only, or do physical media as well?
Just digital at this stage. I have fantasy ideas at the moment of putting vinyl out, but it's just very expensive to do.
Who's got that money?
Oh, not us. It's not cheap. It'd be amazing to be able to hold a physical like record in your hand of your album, but I mean, it's just not feasible at the moment.
Suitcase Records in Brisbane, Curly. Is that right?
Absolutely. Suitcase Records. If you are looking to do vinyl, we've had Suitcase on the show, and they're a lovely couple.
No, fantastic.
Family business, and they're really in it for the...
they do small runs.
Yeah, small runs. So
I'm not quietly Googling it at the moment, don't worry.
Okay, no worries. Just make sure you tell them that Unfiltered and Undiscovered sent you.
I would definitely tell them you sent us.
Yeah, not that it gets you a discount or anything, but just...
I guess we can't ask these guys to give us a shout out on the red carpet at the Golden Guitars next year.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. Well, when you guys make it, all we want to hear at the Grammys or whatever acceptance award that you've got
is just shout out
to the boys, and that's it. We'll be stoked. You don't even have
I think we can do that.
That's our goal for this year.
That is our goal. We love talking to guys like you, and just
it's been good.
Yeah, it surprised me, your music. I mean, we've had death metal bands on before. As I said, I saw you on TikTok. I started to gel with the personality of the band. Let's get you on. Let's get you talking. It's been great talking with you guys. But surprisingly, I'm not a death metal fan. But just some of those melodies in there, it's still rock and roll underneath.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll. So
definitely. Our lead guitarist writes some lovely things as well. Like he does definitely, he has that vibe about him where he can actually write a riff that is quite catchy. Same as our rhythm guitarist. Like they both write together. They don't do it separately. So they'll bounce things off each other. So it's sort of, it helps when they work so well together and actually can make those riffs that are actually enjoyable and not just droney crap.
Yeah.
No, anyone that writes droney crap, but I mean, yeah, it is what it is.
I'll tell you
what instrument do you play?
I'm the lowly bassist. Hence why I was drinking as soon as you came onto the came on the screen. I had a beer in my hand already. That's just what happens with bass. I think that's just a thing.
No, I think you'll find the bass player is the most important member of every band.
Because he'll say I've got a big head then.
Boys, I've got to show you the most Adelaide bass guitar you can ever have. Hang on one sec. I've got to get
Please do.
Okay, well, while
take
we're
your
waiting.
Shoes off, Braggy. Take your shoes off.
So while we're writing.
Is Rocky, he coming back naked?
Yeah, no.
Is he going to do a Nick Oliveri?
Here we go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's made from a wine box.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Barossa.
You can't really get much more Adelaide than that, can you? You could chuck it in a barrel in an old Bank SA building. I mean, that's fairly Adelaide as well.
All right, guys, we're going to start winding up. But before we do, Rossi, do we have a backstage story for tonight?
Oh, gee. Look, I was thinking about a few of those. And one of them was we were touring with this New Zealand heavy metal band that had come across from New Zealand, right? This is back in the 80s. And, yeah, they had the whole thing, the chains, everything. Yeah, like the it was the full sort of like, if you remember a band from Adelaide called Escape, John the Beast.
Yeah.
Remember John the Beast? That sort of thing, you know, like the whole, you know, chains and anyway. So we got wind that this New Zealand heavy metal band had never seen the film Spinal Tap.
Oh.
So we've gone out of our way, and the sound guy's gone and got a video recorder for their hotel room, gone in, got a copy of the tape and taken it in. And left the band with it. And we came in about 2 hours later, and the ashen face, they were very, very upset, and it really soured the relationship with us. Now, the irony of it is the band's name was Stonehenge.
Oh, no.
That is fantastic.
What happened to them, Rossi?
Have a guess. I got trampled by a dwarf, I reckon.
Oh, poor Kiwis.
We love you, Rossi. We really do. So, all right. So, a big shout out to Storm the Crown. Thanks for joining us tonight. Your links will be in the show notes. We've added your music to the Unfiltered and Undiscovered playlist. Now well over 330 songs. So every band or music we talk about on the podcast gets added to that playlist. So it's growing and growing, and it's awesome to see. Guys, it's been awesome having Waffles and Killer on the show. And, I mean, just even the bloody nicknames are a contradiction, aren't they? We've got Killer and then we've got, Waffles. So
metal is full of paradox.
Well, you mentioned before, Killer mentioned before that the band, you're talking about Mark of Cain or someone, and said they were such nice guys. I think every metal band we've had on here have been,
good guys.
They always are.
Guys, yeah.
Don't believe what they say about metal people.
No.
They're not all scary.
Yeah.
You fall over at a show, it's the biggest, scariest guys, the first one that bend down and pick you up and help you out.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And Killer, you've got a great stage presence. My God, it's just...
Oh, thank you.
You just dominate there in the center of the stage and, as I said, scare the shit out of me. But anyway... you certainly haven't scared me tonight. And thanks for coming on the show. Now, for everyone... If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out Storm the Crown. Their links are in the show notes. But if you've liked the podcast, please like and subscribe wherever, whatever platform that you've listened to us. We're on YouTube on Spotify and all major audio platforms. We're on socials, on Facebook, TikTok. We've got a website, Unfiltered and Undiscovered. We've got our playlist, of course, which is well over 300 songs. Just do a search on Spotify for Unfiltered and Undiscovered. Now, the lyric from the playlist, I think this is a repeat, to be honest, but it's from some unknown solo artist called Tape Rag. The song is called Candy. And the lyric is very simply, she's going to love you, she'll make you whole again. So just a warm lyric to finish the night. Hey, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks, guys, from Storm the Crown.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
We'll catch you all next week where we've got a very special episode that's a little bit of a secret to our two co-hosts. Until then, we'll see you later.
Oh, no.
I hate it when he does this. Hey.
going.